That's why we. And welcome to Focus 314. Man, I'm just excited about today. I get excited about a lot of stuff, but I get most excited about church and about worshiping God and doing that together. And I am just so glad that you are here and that you are with us. And I pray that you're going to have an absolutely amazing day here as well. Two things that we do all the time. This is what I pray for at our church. First one is, man, I pray that we're going to have fun. I hope that you're going to have fun at church. I want to have fun at church, and I hope the same thing for you. And that's one of our core values here at Focus 314. Another one is this, is that we believe in the power and the presence of our Lord. And that's what we've been praying for. Man, we want to be able to see some changed lives today, and that's what we want to be able to see is the power and presence of the Lord, which I believe we just experienced right here in worship. Amen? Amen. Yeah, man, we have an opportunity right now to continue in our worship by having our tithe and offering. And so, ushers, if you want to come on down. You know, this week I was thinking about a really good friend of mine, somebody who was key to my wife and I getting to Arizona. And man, that was an individual that we just all love so much, and that was Wayne Bice. And man, we love Wayne Bice, and Wayne Bice is no longer with us anymore. But man, the legacy that he left us is just amazing. And the one thing about Wayne that he always taught me was that he said, you know, you just have to trust the principles of God. You just need to be able to step out and trust his principles. And when he would talk about tithing, when he would talk about being generous, he tithed no matter what was going on. And he said, you know what the blessing that God gave me is that I never was late on one bill. Now, some of you, that might not seem a big deal, but some of you who have gone through some unemployment before, you know how big of a deal that was, right? And that's what Wayne was. Wayne went from a couple of jobs and never once was he late on a bill. That's what I'm talking about. That is a blessing that God gives us. And so when we tithe, it's so crazy how this principle works. But when we tithe, when we give God our first, he blesses the rest. When we give God our first, he blesses the rest. And that's something that just is true in our finances, and it's true in so many different areas of our life. And we believe in the principles that God has given us. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to bring your tithe and to give your offering this morning. Let's go ahead and pray for that. God, I just thank you so much for the principles that you've given us to follow. And I pray that we will do that, that we will trust you enough to follow those principles. And God, I pray that you will bless this offering. Bless it, Lord Jesus, and further your kingdom so that individuals who don't know you today will know you tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? I told you we believe in having fun, and that's a fun song right there. Hey, I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and we're in the second week of a series that we're calling Margin. We're talking about margin, and I want you to know this, is that during this series, what we want to do is we want to have a come to Jesus moment for you. Each of us, we want to have a come to Jesus moment for each and every single one of us in this room. And what does that mean for us? Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. For you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. We want to have a come to Jesus moment. And what we're praying for, what I've been praying for during this series, is that somebody in this room, maybe just a few of you, and I believe it's just going to be a few, because we know that there's reading scripture that's just going to be a few that are going to find this, that a few of you are going to have an aha moment. And you're going to say, man, I'm going to come to Jesus. But it's more than just coming to Jesus, because how many of you, you know, how many of you guys really, you get tired? Anybody get tired? Some of you are lying in church. You're not raising your hand right now. We're in church, people. Man, we get tired, right? We get weary. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. He doesn't say just a few. He says, come to me, all you single parents who just don't know what to do because you're at your wit's end. He says, come to me, all you business people who have a project that is due and you're facing this timeline in front of you. It says, come to me, all you parents who have little hellions running around all over the place. That's what he says. He says, come to me, all who are weary. And then, but that's it. Sometimes that's just us. We want to just come to Jesus with our burden, and we want to lay it down at his feet, and then we want everything to be better. But here's what he says. He continues on. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And learn from me. See, a lot of times we forget that part. We just want to have the come to Jesus moment. We just want to have the feel-good moment, like what we just experienced in worship, where we get our Holy Ghost goosebumps, and we're like, man, that was amazing. That was awesome. That's what church was. But we forget about that. Learn from me. Learn from me takes work. Learn from me takes discipline. Learn from me takes change. And so often, we just want to have that come to Jesus moment where we feel good about ourselves, but then we go on our merry way. Well, that does us no good, does it? It's just a fleeting moment that we each have, but it does us no good. We want to be able to get to the root of the issue, and it's the way that we live. And that's why we say that we're all about changed lives here, not just about experiencing a moment, not just about that feels really good, church. We want to see changed lives. Anybody with me now? Some of you are not, because you're starting to feel it already. But that's what we want to do. Man, I'm praying that we are going to have a come to Jesus moment and that we are going to learn from him. We're going to be able to see that happen, man, because chances are that we won't get it. Chances are that we just continue on our merry way and we don't understand this. But we're going through this series called Margin, and we want to talk about what margin is. And our definition for margin during this series is this. It's a quote by Andy Stanley, and he says this. He says, margin is the amount that's available beyond what is necessary. Margin is the amount that is available beyond what is necessary. So what does that look like? How does that play out for us? Well, this is an easy way to look at it. For our scheduling purposes, if you have an appointment and it's 30 minutes from now and it takes you 20 minutes to drive there, you have 10 minutes of margin. You guys get that? Or financially, if you have a bill that's due and you have $100 and the bill is for $80, you have $20 of margin. So margin is the amount that is available beyond what is necessary. How many of you guys wish that you had more time in the day? Anybody? Anybody feel like, man, you just cannot get everything done that you need to get done, right? How many of you guys wish that there were 25 hours in the day? Just give me one more hour to be able to catch up on some stuff, right? That's how we feel. But the reality is this, is I want to tell you that if all of a sudden God just magically had 25 hours in the day, most likely we would not be spending it on what we feel is important. Chances are we're not going to do it. Think about it this way. When was the last time that you had an unexpected day off, where you had an unexpected moment where you had some margin in your life? You had 8 hours to spare. I'm going to tell you that most likely those 8 hours were spent on things that you felt were urgent. You were either out running errands. You were either out taking care of some old business that you had to do. But they weren't spent on the areas that you feel are important. Because most likely you spent it on what you felt was urgent. And we get those two things mixed up very, very often. The urgent and the important. When you sit down and you list your values, what you truly value in this world, is it paying your bills? Is it making sure that you get the laundry done? Is it making sure that you have an extremely clean home? Most likely, your values that you list down, you say, I love God. I love my family. These are the things that are important to me. But the last time that you had an 8-hour moment to spare, what did you spend it on? Did you spend it on what was urgent? Or did you spend it on what was important? Because chances are, you did not have 8 glorious hours that you spent in God's presence, did you? That's just the way that it goes. That's what we're talking about. That's why you can see how important it is for us to talk about this issue of margin. Because our lives, the way that we live our life, is not on what we feel is important. We live in a culture that is pushing us further and further away from margin. We live in a culture where we want to be overwhelmed. And that's just where we live. When was the last time that you talked to somebody and you asked them this question? Hey, how are things going? And the answer that we get all the time is this: it's so busy. It's busy, 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 isn't it? That's the answer that we give. When was the last time that you asked somebody, hey, how are things going? Hey, man, things are really relaxed right now. I really don't have a whole lot going on. What? That doesn't make any sense, does it? That's not the answer that we give. It's not really socially acceptable. Because we believe this. We believe that busyness equals productivity. We believe that busyness equals success. Let me tell you something. Busyness doesn't do that at all. Busyness does not lead to productivity. Busyness does not lead to success. Valuing what is important and putting our priorities the way that they need to, that will bring us success. Making sure that we have margin in our lives will help us along the way, though, that we are living a life of success. Man, Romans 12:2 says this. And I love this. I love what Romans 12:2 says. I got to find it real quick. Because I want to get it right. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The reality is that we live in a culture that is pushing us in a certain direction. We live in a culture that is pushing us in a certain direction. And he's saying, don't conform to it. Let's put it this way. Let's give it this analogy. How many of you guys have ever driven a car that was out of alignment? Maybe you don't know what that is. Maybe your mechanic just told you you're out of alignment, and the next thing you know, you got to spend $200, you know? Well, here's what that is. This is what a car out of alignment is. When you're driving that car, the steering wheel feels like it's pulling in a certain direction, right? The steering wheel is pulling towards the edge of the road, and you got to kind of fight to keep that thing on track, right? You got to keep that car on the road, and you got to kind of fight and pull the steering wheel in a certain direction, right? Well, here's the reality for us. Is that when we are born, we're born into sin, which means that we are out of alignment to God's will. It means that our natural tendency is to pull away from God. That's the pattern of this world. And in 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not get out of alignment. And so daily, we have to get into alignment with God's will. Daily, we have to put ourselves into a position where we are saying, I don't want to conform to the patterns of this world. God, I want to be able to follow you. We need to change the way that we think. I got to tell you this. Man, I get so happy when somebody comes up to me and they say, you know, you're kind of weird. You know, are you happy all the time? You know, I get really excited about that. Because when somebody tells me that you're kind of weird, it means that I'm not normal. Because I don't believe that normal is working. What's normal in marriage? Divorce and problems. What's normal in parenting and kids? Rebellion and issues. What's normal in our finances? Not having any money left at the end of the month. That's what normal is. And I got to tell you, I don't believe that normal is working. I don't want to be normal. I don't want normal to be your life. I want to be able to live the way that God wants us to live and not to conform to the patterns of this world. Are you guys with me now? You see where we're going with this. This is a challenge, but I'm just praying that some of you will have this come to Jesus moment, that you'll have a come to Jesus moment and that you will learn from him and the way that he wants you to live your life, which is a life full of margin. Ephesians 5 is where we're going to kind of be landing today, and we're getting where we're going today from Ephesians chapter 5. And so, man, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ephesians 5, or if you have your mobile device, man, go ahead and open up the YouVersion app. I love the YouVersion app, and you can go to that search menu on the live part and just type in Focus 314, just one word together, no space, and you're going to be able to find all of the notes to this message today. Or if it's an easier way for you, you can go onto Facebook page, and there's a link that goes right to that as well. And so that way you'll be able to just follow along. In fact, those notes, they're up there all week long, So in case you want to go back to those live events, it's up there all week long for you as well. And so Ephesians 5 is where we're at right now. And it says this in 5:15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. Man, I love this so much. This very first statement, be very careful. Be very careful how you live. How many of us could actually say that we're careful on the way that we live? Because I don't believe that we are. It means that we're living with intentionality. It means that we're living with a purpose and that every single day we're thinking before we act. And too often, we do not think before we act. Instead, we react to our circumstances. We allow our circumstances to dictate how we're going to live. Well, man, that's not being careful. That's not being intentional on the way that we need to live. Instead, we want to be careful, and we want to be able to live not as unwise, but as the wise. There's so much in there. There is so much in there. Man, just read the first four chapters of Proverbs, and it is going to talk about being wise. And I'll tell you what, man, we are giving away the book of Proverbs. So some of you got it last week. The others, man, there's copies of it just right outside in the lobby. There's a table that's right there. Man, go ahead, take one of those. Man, I would love for you to have it. Read the first four chapters, and it talks about living with wisdom, being wise, not as the unwise. Too many people just let the world react, and they react to those circumstances. We need to be able to change the way that we live. Be careful. Be intentional about the way that we live. Making the most of every opportunity. How many of you guys know this? There's an opportunity that's going to come at you every single day. Making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every moment. Making the most of every minute. We don't do it. We allow these moments and these minutes to just pass right on by without a fleeting thought. The next thing we know is like, how did we get here? I don't even understand. Man, 5 minutes are gone just like that. We don't make the most of it. Be wise. Be intentional because the days are evil. The days are evil. Like I said, we wake up in the morning and we're out of alignment with God. Our natural bent is not wisdom. Our natural bent is foolishness. We are made to be out of alignment with God. That's how we're born. But God is not, that's not the purpose that he wants for us. And so every single day, we need to take a moment to get back into alignment with God. So here's the challenge that I want to give you. This is a challenge that I want to give you this week. You guys ready for a challenge? Here's the challenge I want to give you this week. I want to give you this challenge to wake up every single morning, and I want you to spend 5 minutes with God. The first thing that you do in the morning, spend 5 minutes with God. Take the book of Proverbs and put it on your nightstand and set your alarm 5 minutes early. You know, and the first thing you do is you wake up and you get those eye boogers out, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, what time is it? You know, do that kind of thing. It gives you time to wake up and then grab that book of Proverbs or grab your mobile device or whatever it is and open up YouVersion and hit the daily reading that's right there. Just spend 5 minutes. 5 minutes with God to get yourself into alignment with him because the days are evil. The days are evil, and that's the way that we're bent. That's the way that we go. Our natural stance is not wisdom. Our natural stance is foolishness. But God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to fill you with wisdom. And so I want to give you that challenge. 5 minutes every single morning. Set your alarm. Set your alarm 5 minutes early. See what's going to happen in your life. See the change that is going to happen when you say, God, I'm going to give you this day. God, I want to get back in alignment with you. I want to live with wisdom. I don't want to live like everybody else because normal's not working. Help me to live the way that you want me to live. I don't want to conform to the patterns of this world. I want to be conformed to you. So in light of that, in light of this question, when we're talking about our margin, when we're talking about our schedule, and how that looks inside of our calendar and the way that we live our life, too often we ask ourselves this question. Like if I came up to you and I said, hey, do you want to go do such and such on Saturday? Your very first question is this. Am I free that day? Right? We ask that question, which is not a bad question. You know, when we look at our phone and we find out if we're free or not, we ask ourselves that question. Or we might ask ourselves this question. Is that right or wrong to do? Because maybe you're hanging out with some knuckleheads, you know, and they're asking you to do something. And it's like, hey, that's not okay for me to do. So you ask the question, is it right or wrong for me to do? And neither one of those are bad questions, but they're not really the question that we need to ask ourselves. In light of Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, to live as the wise and not the unwise, I believe that we need to ask ourselves this question. Is it wise for me to do? Is it wise for me to do? In light of my hopes and my dreams, is it wise for me to add this particular thing to my schedule? In light of the situation that our marriage is in right now, where it's in some trouble and we need some help, should we really add this new thing to our schedule? In light of the fact that my kids are at a young age and this is a time that I'm never going to get back, should I really add these new things to our schedule? In light of the fact that my teenager is 17 and they're graduating in just a little bit, should we really add this new thing to our schedule? In light of whatever, is it wise? That is something that people don't do. Who talks like that? You know, if you said, hey, you want to go hang out? You know, I need to check to see if that's wise. Nobody talks like that, right? Nobody does. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, though. Don't live like everybody else. Be careful. Live as the wise and not like the unwise. Is it wise for me to do this? And I got to tell you, man, as I was sitting there thinking of this and going through this message, I really felt like this is the key thing for us today when we're talking about our schedule. This is the big takeaway that we have. For today, when we're talking about your schedule and you're looking at things and you're beginning to think like the wise, we need to begin to do this. And this is our big takeaway for the day. You can go ahead and put it up there. We need to learn to say no to good things so that you can say yes to the best things. We need to learn to say no to the good things and say yes to the best things. Man, I love golf. I love golfing. And when somebody calls me up and says, hey, you know what? Do you want to go golfing on a Saturday? My first inclination is, yes, that would be awesome. I want to go do that. But I am in a situation where I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I know it's so much more important for me on those Saturday mornings to hang out with them than to go golfing. That's just where I'm at right now. I hope that's never going to always be the case. I want to go golfing on a Saturday morning, you know? Grow up soon. Let's go. Get out of the house. Give us some time to ourselves, you know? But we need to be able to say no to the good things. And golf is very, very good. So that we can say yes to the best. We need to start asking ourselves, in light of this, is it wise for me to do it? We need to say no to the good things so that we can say yes to the best. You know, the person in my life that I look at and I say, man, they live this. They live this out more than anybody else. They are more productive with their schedule than anybody that I know, and that is my wife. My wife is amazing, man. She is spiritually productive. She is relationally productive. She's productive all across the board. And those of you that know her know that that's true. It's amazing how much she gets done in the day. I'm always blown away by how much she gets done. Let me just tell you a couple of things that really are on her plate. The responsibilities that she has. First is that, man, she's a mom. She's a mom to two crazy little boys, and she's an amazing mom. I mean, it blows me away how great of a mom that she is. And that's a full-time job right there, right? Those ladies know that I'm saying the truth. She's a mom. Man, she's a pastor's wife, and that is in itself is crazy enough. And she has a heart for people, and she volunteers here at the church so much. In fact, she's down there at the end of the move zone right now teaching our elementary kids, and she's discipling them in a crazy huge way because she has decided that that's what she needs to do at this time. She's amazing. She's productive in that way. I'm just blown away by how much she does. Man, she's my wife, and I am high maintenance. I'm going to tell you, man, that's a full-time job just to take care of me, you know? I have no idea what happens in our house. I really don't. Like, if you came and you said, hey, could I get a pen? I don't know where it's at. You know, I don't. That's all there is to it. Like if she was, she's just so amazing in that. She's so productive in those things. And so what I did is I wanted to ask her. I said, you know, tell me, what do you think about this margin series? And she said, well, it's good, but I already got margin. Oh, great. It'll pat you on the back, you know. Woo. You know, but she really said, but it's good because it's important for us to get it. And so I asked her the question. I said, so tell me, how do you have margin in your life? And she told me this. She said, this is the important thing, is that she said, first, I want to have time with God, and the second is I need rest. And those two things are what give her margin in her life and allow her to be as productive as she is. The thing for us, though, is that we don't allow ourselves to have margin. In fact, when things get really crazy and hectic around your life and in your home and all that kind of stuff, the important things, the things that we believe are important, usually are the first things that are squeezed out. Because too often, we believe what is urgent is what is important. And that's not the truth. And we need to be intentional about the way that we live so that we understand what is important and we live to what's important and not what's urgent. So often, things get squeezed out. And so what we want to talk about this morning, and I want to try to answer you this question for you, is this, is then how do we live our life with margin? How do we begin to do that? Well, I want to be able to answer this question and look at what it is of what gets squeezed out more often than not. When our schedule gets going and things get hectic in our life, these are the two things that get squeezed out more than anything else. And the first one is right here. You can put it up. Intimate time with God is squeezed out. The very first thing that typically gets squeezed out of our schedule is our intimate time with God. Man, Psalms 119:11 says that I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do you hide God's word in your heart? That you have time with him. That you read his word, that you take those moments to do that. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:33. He said this. He said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be given to you as well. He said, seek me first. Seek me first. When you need time in your schedule, what do you need to do first? You need to seek God. When there's something going on in your life, the very first thing you need to do is you need to seek God. And so often we think, you know, I don't have time for that. I would argue this with you all day long. You do not have time not to do this. Because the more you spend away from God, the crazier and the more hectic your schedule is going to be. And when you take these moments to seek first God, to seek first his kingdom, guess what's going to happen? Everything else is going to be added to you. You don't have to worry about your schedule. You don't have to worry about your home. You don't have to worry about your clothes, what you're going to eat, because you're seeking God, and all of it will be added to you because you're seeking him first. Too often we don't. Don't worry, that's just the air condition. I saw it deflated earlier, and I was like, that thing is going to go blah, 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 go crazy. I was anticipating it. You know why? Because I was living like the wise and not the unwise. Yeah, you like that. I was waiting for that joke coming. I was like, come on, let's go. All right, back to where we're at. Man, that's what we need to be able to do. We need to be able to live the wise, not the unwise. And make sure that we carve out those moments in our day and in our schedule that we are giving to God so that we don't lose that intimate time with God, because most likely the very first thing to go is our time with God. You want to have more schedule, you want to have more margin in your life, have those moments. That's why the challenge, man, take those 5 minutes and realign yourself with God every single day. That's why we've given you the book of Proverbs for you to be able to do that. I want to be able to do anything I can to get you to grasp that moment that you've got to realign yourself daily with God. Every single day, we got to realign ourselves with God. That's what we need to do. That's where we need to go. The second thing is this, is that Jenny said that she has time with God and that she has rest. And most of the time when things get squeezed out, the second thing is this, intentional time to rest. That intentional time to rest is squeezed out. We feel like, oh, I got to work myself to death. I got to go, 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 go. All the time, we got to have more. It's busy, busy, busy. But we have to have those moments of rest and be intentional about it. Go back to Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I'm telling you, man, you talk to Jenny about her schedule and what it looks like during the day. And when she puts our three-year-old down for a nap, my wife goes down for a nap. She puts her head down on that pillow, on that couch, and she is unashamed about it. Man, she brags about it. She's like, man, that was a fantastic nap that I had today. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You know, I wish I had one of those. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go to your boss and you tell him, hey, I need a siesta, you know, today. That's probably not going to go well for you. But here's what I want you to do. Figure out when your rest can be. Figure out in your schedule, where is rest going? Are you scheduling time for rest, for your mind to be at rest, for your hands to be at rest? I heard a pastor say this, that those of us that work with our mind, we rest best with our hands. That you can do something with your hands and get them active. Those of you that work best with your hands, you need to rest with your mind. If you're working with your hands all day long, go read a book, and you're going to see how relaxing that is. If you're reading books all the time and you got to study, man, go plant a garden. But you just got to find rest. Find rest. Be intentional about it. Brag about it. Go out of your way to find those moments of rest, because I'm going to tell you, when you do, you will be more productive. When you go and go and go and go, man, you get tired. And you know, I just want you to be able to find a moment where you can find productivity. God wants you to be productive. Why do you think that that's one of his top 10? It's one of his top 10 commandments. He says, you know what? I worked in 6 days and on the seventh I rested, so I'm going to make a Sabbath day for you. I'm going to make a day that you need to devote to me because it's important for you to do so. He's talking to an agricultural society, individuals that have their livelihood dependent upon the harvest. And he says, even during the times of harvest, you need to honor the Sabbath. Even during the times that your livelihood is dependent upon it, you need to rest. Even during those moments when you have your back against the wall and you need to have a project done, you need to have rest. You need to be able to trust God. And that is the key right there, is that we don't do these things because it's a trust issue. We don't believe that God is really going to come through for us. We don't trust him. We don't trust the plan that he has for us. We believe that we know what to do. Let me take care of my schedule, God, because I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to be more productive than you can. I'm going to tell you, it's the exact same thing with the principle of the tithe. When we give God our first, he takes care of the rest. You need to give God your rest. You need to be able to take a moment, a day, that you give to God and you devote to him. And I'm going to tell you what, your life is going to be more productive than it ever has been before. Why? Because it's a principle of God. What it really comes down to is a trust issue. Do you trust God with your time? Do you trust him enough to say, I'm going to rest. I'm going to spend time with you, God. I'm going to be able to do these things. It's a principle that he's given us. It's right here. Too often, not. Wendy, if you want to just come on up. Too often, we don't trust God. That's Glenn, not Wendy, just in case you were wondering. Too often we don't trust God. And we feel like we need to take everything underneath our control. And that we're going to live our life the way that we want to. And so often, it's left us in a mess. Because let me tell you something. Normal is not working. Normal doesn't work in our society. We need to be able to step out of our comfort zone and stop conforming to the patterns of this world and follow the principles that God has for us. Follow the principles that he has. Because I'm going to tell you this. He didn't set these things up here. He didn't give us the Ten Commandments. He didn't give us that day of Sabbath just because he wanted to tell you no, 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 no. He set up these boundaries and these principles for us because he knows a better way of living. He wants to give you a better life. He wants you to be able to live a better life. And I'm going to tell you, that's when we come to Jesus and we learn from him. When we learn from him and we follow is principles. Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Not just believe in Jesus, which is the first point of that follow. Not just, hey, you should go to church. Hey, you should pat yourself on the back and feel like you're doing a good job. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And watch me as I live these principles out. Stop conforming to the patterns of this world. Begin to have margin in your schedule. Begin to trust that God has your best intentions in mind. Begin to trust Him more than you ever have before. Take those 5 minutes every single morning. Devote yourself to God's Word. And I'm asking if you just close your eyes right now. You just want to pray. I want to pray that we're going to have a come to Jesus moment. I want to pray that you have a come to Jesus moment. I want to pray that you become aligned with God's will, with God's purpose and plan for your life. Because the reality is this, is our natural bent is not to conform to God's will, but to conform to the patterns of this world. Our natural bent is not to live as the wise, but the unwise, the foolish. And I know that many people in this room have come in here and have not yet realigned themselves with God. We need to realign ourselves with God. We need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. Some of you in here, you've heard it so many times. You've sat through this moment so many times in your life, and you've pushed it away, and you just said, you know what? I've seen the way that my parents live that way, and I've seen all that kind of stuff, but you know, I still want to be able to do what I want to do. I want to be able to live my life for a little bit before I really start going down that path following Jesus. It's not my time just yet. Let me tell you something. You don't know when your time is. You don't know when your moment is going to come. You don't know that moment where you're going to have to face Jesus and He's going to ask you that question. Why didn't you follow me? Why didn't you make that choice? I gave it to you so many times. I wanted you to be able to choose me and stop choosing your own way and stop choosing your life. I wanted you to choose me. I gave you so many opportunities. Let me tell you something. Today is another one of those moments. Today is another one of those opportunities where you could say, enough is enough. I've tried my way for far too long. And sure, I've had my fun moments. Sure, I've had those moments of laugh, but I realize that inside that there's just emptiness. I realize that I've been living a normal life, and relationally, man, I'm just a mess. I just realize that spiritually I'm a mess. That it's just not working, that normal's not working. It's time. It's time. And Jesus is giving you another opportunity right now. And He is saying, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Learn from me and I will give you rest. If that's you this morning, and you're saying, yes, I need to say yes to Jesus. I need to have a come to Jesus moment. I need to follow Him. I need to, because I understand that my way of doing things is not working. I need to follow Him. Man, if that's you this morning, this is just between you and me and God alone. Nobody else is looking around. Nobody else is doing that. Man, this is just between you and God, and I'm sitting here looking out as well. And you're saying, yes, I need to come to Jesus. It's the moment. It's time for me. If that's you this morning, I just want you to be able to raise up your hand and just say yes. Yes. Yes, I want to say yes to Jesus. Don't wait a moment. Just raise it up now. It's an opportunity for you. We're not going to rush it. Just saying yes to Jesus. That's okay. At this moment that nobody responds. My prayer for you, though, is that you will have another opportunity. And I can tell you here, you're going to have an opportunity again and again and again. And we're praying that one day you will say yes. And I will follow you as I follow Christ. Let's pray together as we're closing things out. I want to pray for all those that are tired in this place. You're just tired. You've had so many things going on, and you are in that moment of weariness where you're feeling the weight and the burden, and you're saying, God, I need a moment where I can just completely lay it down in front of your feet. That we want to have a come to Jesus moment. And I want to pray for you right now with that. God, I pray right now in this moment, Lord, that the individuals in here that are tired, that are weary, that just feel completely worn out, God, that they can lay all of those things down at your feet, and that they will just say, God, I just come to you. I need a moment of rest. I need rest. And God, I pray that you will have that happen in this room. God, I pray that there will just be naps galore that will take place in this room this afternoon. That there will just be rest that is found. And not just physical rest, but God, a rest of our mind. The peace will just settle in. God, I pray that there will be a rest in their spirits, Lord God, so that they wake up refreshed, relaxed, energized by you and you alone, Lord Jesus. I pray that we will begin to find margin in our lives, Lord God. And I pray for each of us, Lord God, that each day that we can be realigned to your purpose and your will in our lives. We pray these things in your powerful and your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Man, isn't God good? Isn't God good, church? This isn't a series where it's just like sit back and relax and hey, life is good, you know. It's a challenge because we want to challenge you to be able to live the way that God wants you to live. That's what the goal is. Hey, right now we're going to be transitioning out and a final transition, and I'm going to be heading outside. You see our guest central that's out there. I'm going to be hanging out. Man, if you're new or newer to the church, I would love a chance to meet you, to shake your hand, and just say thank you so much for being here. And man, if God just did something in your life today, man, I would love a chance to be able to hear that, be able to celebrate with you as we're doing that. And as I'm transitioning out, we have Nick and Tiffany Johnson. They're coming up right now. They've got a couple of announcements, some really cool things that are happening in our church, and they'll be able to direct you in that kind of stuff. So give it up for Nick and Tiffany.